Well, we're back on the air, and we are at the firm of Gray, Gray, and Gray, and that means my co-host is the indomitable Rich Hershen.
Hey, Jeffrey, how are you? We got some great guests today.
Thank you very much, Rich, and I appreciate your hosting us. It's great being here. The offices are wonderful. And remind everybody, you know, if you haven't been tuning into Radio Entrepreneurs, we're all over YouTube and all over the web. We are the number one publisher of internet stories on business in New England, and very proud to say that. And thank you to our team here in the office, who seem to never want to put their names on the spell. There they are, Chris Jarrell and Nathan Gobes, if I can say it. I probably got it wrong. But I know, I just got a look. Okay. Our next guest, Rob Pellegrini, president of PK Boston Law, and Elliot Schneider, signature lending and principal at AGS. Welcome, guys.
Thank you very much.
Can you tell us about the two firms?
Okay, sure. My name is Rob Pellegrini. I'm president of PK Boston Law. We're primarily a commercial real estate development law firm. Housed in Bridgewater, but we have offices in Plymouth and Newton.
My name is Elliot Schneider. I'm a developer, AGS Development. We've been developing for almost 35 years now. We've developed apartments. We have developed also 40B development. We're doing the Village of Goddard Highlands in Stoughton, Mass now. 112 single-family homes. We've been developing all over southeastern Massachusetts. And I am also we own a company called Signature Lending, located in Sharon, Mass. Again, we primarily lend in southeastern Massachusetts, maybe as far west as Worcester, and in the greater Boston area.
So it's not that often that we get the pleasure of having two guests at the same time. So tell us how you two got to know each other and what type of work you do with each other.
Well, I think I originally met Elliot when I was in-house at Cumberland Farms. And I don't remember exactly how that happened. But as soon as I left and started in private practice, I came across a fairly decent development, potential development deal that I thought he might be interested in. And I think from that point on, we started working together. How'd I do on that?
You did great.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Rob does, you know, obviously if you're in the real estate business, you need a good real estate attorney.
Absolutely.
And Rob had extensive experience. And also we found that if you start out with somebody that's younger, usually they have more time for you. And with his Cumberland experience, he brought a lot of value to our firm. So he does most of our closings.
That's very nice.
So, Elliot, give us a little bit of history of how you sort of got into this business, or businesses.
Businesses.
Right.
I've always been entrepreneurial. Actually, my major background was automotive. I was actually a Pontiac dealer, 1978 to 82. Which was, if anybody has a long memory, was not a very good time to be in the automobile business. So my father-in-law actually was a builder and developer, mostly on Cape Cod, and he kind of let me apprentice in the trade. And we started building in the Worcester area, Sturbridge, Charlton, Oxford, mostly single-family houses. Actually, my wife was the builder. I learned the land development business, and we've been doing that ever since, and rather successfully. And in addition, somewhere around 2013, when we were somewhat coming out of the most recent recession, I recognized there was an opportunity in lending money to small developers looking to basically fix and flip homes.
And do you see more growth in the lending business now than you are in the development business? Is that where more of your efforts are focused?
It's become, peer-to-peer lending has become huge. It's actually much more competitive than it was 6 or 7 years ago. There are hedge funds into it now. There's, as we discussed previously, there are family offices in the business. It's just really a tremendous wide-open opportunity where banks are so regulated and can't lend in this area, or with a lot of difficulty and a lot of rules, can't lend very quickly in this area. There's just a tremendous amount of opportunity.
That's great. And tell me a little about the development side. So are you doing development deals now, and where are you looking, and what do you look for in a good development deal?
I'm kind of on the tail end of my development career. I bought a lot of land in the early 2000s, thinking that this was kind of going to last forever. Didn't really believe in the economic cycle. Just developing most of that land and selling it off now. We have one project, again, as I mentioned before, in Stoughton, which is a 40B, or an affordable housing development. It's 112 homes. We're about 70% done with that project now. We have about 40 homes left to sell. But I'm really slowing down on my development.
Something that's interesting to note here is with his past doing a lot of this, I think it's from what we've seen at PK Boston Law, it's really helped him with deciding what a good project to lend on and which is a good project for him to pass on. So that's, I think, something that Elliot's very good with, is pretty much looking at the viability of the potential project to determine whether or not to lend on it. I would say, from what I've seen, and I'm sure he's going to agree with me, is it sounds like the best way to go about it is to really analyze how not to lose on a project versus anything else. And sometimes I would say what I've seen is, at least the, I don't want to say there's more no's than yeses, but sometimes, depending on the quality of the project, I think there has to be.
And then they get more competitive. It's probably a yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have to work. Mm-hmm. I guess most people think we're in the process of some shifting sands right now in the economy. And is that affecting the way you evaluate projects and what you're even seeing out there today?
No, absolutely, because, the market is certainly at the least flattened out. The sales curve is taking longer to sell properties. I think it kind of really started, it's almost like a big anchor came out sometime around early October when the stock market started going down and the Fed really started to raise. So we're evaluating deals, we're scrutinizing deals much more carefully now, obviously to make sure that we have enough equity in them in case the market really does fall apart.
So what would you tell people today who are looking to get into your field? Any advice that you would give them if they were, let's say, young, let's say 40s, out of business school, they don't want to work for a big corporation like you, and they're looking to get into your field? What kind of advice would you give them?
Are you speaking more of the development field or the lending field? If the lending field, you have to have money.
Right, that I
so
know.
That's
you can't
that's
lend
easy.
What you don't have.
You can't lend what you don't have.
And make sure you've also got good security on what you're lending, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. In the development field, there are very few young people getting into it, unfortunately.
That's shocking.
It might be shocking to you, but you don't make a week's pay, which is very difficult for a lot of people, unless you work for a large development firm. So I would say that would be a good way to start if you were interested in the field. But it's very difficult. I mean, some projects might be a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 10 years before you see any money coming out. So I don't see a lot of young people going into it, which is very unfortunate. So if you go to planning board meetings or conservation meetings or, strictly in development, you just don't see young people in it anymore. And it's unfortunate because it can be a very good and lucrative business.
There's probably something to add to that as well is the development process, I'm sure most of your listeners know, is a bear of a job, especially in Massachusetts. One thing that I did get to see in my prior role in-house is driving from one town to the next all year round. You can see that some like development a little bit more than others, but it seems like, for someone just starting out, getting that knowledge isn't something that you're just inherently going to know where you're going
to
run
into trouble. There's a lot to learn.
There
is a lot to learn. That I do know. Rob and Elliot, if someone wants to find you, how would they find you in your companies?
Well, for me, it would certainly be online, PK Boston Law, as well, Twitter, at PK Boston Law, Facebook, LinkedIn. We're everywhere on that.
Good. Yeah. And you, Elliot?
I'm a little bit more old-fashioned. I network a lot. People usually call me. That I just word of mouth mostly. But people can reach me on my cell phone anytime. It's 508-889-1218.
Well, then we're going to have to get you to our Radio Entrepreneurs Cafes.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's a good place to network, and we have to usually close the doors and the invitations after we send out notice right away.
Can you tell me a little about what your cafe is?
Well, I'll do that off the air with you.
Okay,
yeah, definitely.
Sure.
We're going to take a break, everybody, and we want to thank, again, our very wonderful hosts. There's always great shows when we're at Greg, Ray, and Gray. It seems to bring out the guests, and Rich Hershen specifically.
You're welcome, Jeff.
Right. Well, you are our benefactor here and a great supporter of Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.